Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Amen. 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 I know Pastor Randy's ready to go. I just want to come up and give a quick report of what God helped us to accomplish in Pakistan. And sometimes I think the best way to show you what God helped us accomplish is by video. So, Andrew, if you wouldn't mind, please show the video.
Is from heaven. This Jesus is still here today. Hallelujah. Well, you got a chance to see us standing in the rain along with tens of thousands of people. I was telling Pastor Randy, it was raining Friday all day long. And you're praying, God, move the clouds, you know. And I think, sometimes I don't understand this stuff. When I get to heaven someday, I have a few questions for the Lord myself. But what I was, as we were driving, we had to drive about 2.5 hours to get to the crusade site. And I must admit, my brain saying, there's not going to be a single person out there. Lord, we put all this money into it. And I didn't speak it. I was careful. I thought it and put subjection into those thoughts. And when I came around the corner, buses are being stuck. We're trying to, you got people carrying 100 people on a bus. They're trying to push a bus out of mud pits and stuff. It was something I probably have never seen before in a crusade. But when we came around the corner, we got to the stage, there was tens of thousands of people who had stood out in the rain for over 5 hours and 3 additional hours while Pastor Matt began to bring forth the message. And as you saw at the end, we saw 38,409 people come to Christ in that service all by itself. It was absolutely amazing. And church, again, thank you from the bottom of my heart. On behalf of Peter Dosick Ministries, Pastor Matt, these Sons of Faith are doing such a great job. And it's because of your faith, it's because of your prayers and your support. So far in seven crusades, we have seen 437,307 people come to Pakistan. And we're going to go back again in October with Pastor Randy. And we're going to bring a couple more people with us. We're going to believe in God, we're going to get over 500,000 souls in Pakistan in October. Will you believe that with us? Church, thank you so much. We love you. Let's give a warm welcome now to Pastor Randy Waters.
Thank you. Thanks, Pastor Eric. Start calling him Pastor Eric instead now. I'm telling you, it's all on him. He just don't know it, I guess. It's awesome. Praise the Lord. Everybody good in the house? All right, it's good to be here. Good to be back. It was awesome what God was doing this morning in our praise and our worship. And it's crazy because today we are talking about the church. Or as they say in Africa, the chat. So we do that back in kids' church. Say, the chat. And they like, the chat. It's awesome. So February 4th, we started that series that Pastor Nicole was talking about, Back in Order. And we had Pastor Kylan start it out. And he made a statement that life is best when ordered God's way. Life is best when it's ordered God's way. We all have priorities that make up our lives. And we have to trust God, and then he will make our way straight, and then he will help keep our lives in order. That's right. So and then I taught then, the second week, about what makes a Christian home successful. And I gave you two families that you could look at, Abraham's family and Lot's family. And we talked about those families. And then as a leader of your homes, we need to give God all authority and allow him to order our steps. And don't be passive as the leaders of our homes. That was very important as well. Then Pastor Nicole continued by talking about regarding our spouses more than anything else. She's slacked on that a little bit here the last couple weeks. But it's okay. So sometimes we learn slow. She'll get there. Praise God. Look at that look. Woo! Praise God. And then she finished up the last 2 weeks talking about training up our kids God's way and keeping our jobs also in line and working as unto the Lord. So today we're going to finish up this series and talk about the church. Talk about the church. Now, as I start this out, can somebody tell me what the church is? Anybody got an idea? Oh, it's us. It's the body of Christ. Believers, absolutely. So it's really the church is not what is the church, but it's who is the church. Yes, the who. The church is people, believers, ones who trust God, right? Yes, that's the church. Look at yourself if you can, or say to yourself, I am the church.
I am the church.
Say it like you mean it. I'm the church. Yes, you are. You are the church. Now, here's the thing. Even though we're the church, there's an estimated 2.7 billion Christians around the world. That's considered the church. 2.7 billion church people, believers that love God, are around the world. That's a lot. It's a lot. But here's the bad part. Only 1.8 billion of those 2.7 billion people attend an assembly. Wow. Holy moly. That's crazy. That's insane. And Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, if you have your Bibles, you can do this, or your pads or whatever you're using. It says this, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Yeah, almost a billion people around the world. And you know, this was probably written, oh, I don't know, a couple thousand years ago, right? Somewhere in there. So it looks like they also had those problems. Just didn't happen today in the 80s and 90s. Because he's talking about, as some do, even back then, people did not attend an assembly. And they're not to forsake it. But we're supposed to what? Exhort one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. What day? The end. When he comes. So, when we see this, as the end time approaches, we are not to be slacking as the church, but we are supposed to be here even more, assembling together more, more often, not less. Talks about a remnant here. Am I going to be part of that remnant? Okay, very good. We're supposed to be stirring each other up more, loving each other, encouraging one another, and being about God's purpose more. And that can't happen if you're not here. Now, we're going to come back to this at the end. Yes, we are going to. No, no. Yes, we have to. You know, people's jobs take priorities these days. They do. It's just the facts. Kids' sports take priority these days. Sundays and Wednesdays. Oh, the devil knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Always Sundays and Wednesdays. Used to be Thursdays. Nah, we better change it to Wednesdays. Yeah, football now, 12 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. Are you kidding me? Football practice, it's insane. Fishing and boating are more important on Sundays. We had a child in the kids' church not too long ago, Charity. And he came in all upset and sad. And, of course, we look for those things. And one of the teachers said, "Why are you so sad and gloomy today?" "I did not want to come to church today. I wanted to go fishing." And the teacher says, "Well, why didn't you go fishing?" And the little boy said, "Dad said I couldn't." "Oh, it's good. He said I had to come to church." Well, the teacher's excited. "Well, that's good of your dad. I'm glad he told you that." "Yeah, he told me that he didn't have enough bait for both of us." Come to church. You know, sad, so sad. You know, but then we also work 6 days a week now. So it's like Sundays is my day of rest. I get up early every, what time starts? 10. Oh my gosh, 10. No, it's my day of rest. We have all kinds of excuses. You know, we get offended by somebody else in the church and therefore, you know, we just stop coming. Now, I understand when people are abused by church authority and leadership, they stop coming. I understand all that. I get that. But there's so many unbiblical excuses people use of why not attending the assembly. And some people just don't care. "I don't care. I don't want to attend. It's just not who I am. I'm a loner. I'm scared of people." You hear that more and more also. So that's what's happening. But we got to remember that the church was not a human idea. It was not thought up by us. Church, assembling together, was God's idea. It was our Creator's idea. And we have to get that back in order, especially as the time approaches in this end. We have to come together and be the church. Jesus starts talking about the new covenant church right away in Matthew 16, 15 through 19. It says, Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do you say," God bless you, "who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, can't you see I've been a children's pastor for 17 years? Nothing bothers me. It's all good. Hallelujah. Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Jesus said, "I'm building my church on this rock. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, Peter, will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, I know we've had a lot of new converts started coming into the church. A lot of young people that have been coming into the church. People that are unchurched are starting to flow in, which is fantastic. That's what we want. So I wanted to let you guys know, in the younger generation, Jesus was not talking about building the church on the rock. This guy, right here. Dwayne Johnson is not who Jesus was talking about. So we'll let you know this, okay? So you know, you're on the right page here with us this morning. Now, for all you older people, older generation that are maybe just getting saved, coming into the church, never been churched your whole life. You've been part of the world your entire life. Jesus is not talking about Peter, because Peter in the Greek means Petra. So he is not talking about the amazing rock band Petra. Yes. Great, man. 80s rock band, Petra. He's even got a song about being, I'm on the rock. But unfortunately, Petra is not who Jesus was talking about building his church on. It's crazy. Petra was one of my favorite bands. Matter of fact, I went to a church camp for the very first time. I heard that song on a guy's tape, and I stole his tape. True story, at church camp. I stole it. Took it. Got saved, delivered, healed, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and stole the tape. Took it home. Jeez. His name was Jerry. He's a pastor up in like Findlay area, Ohio. One day he came to the church here, and I confessed to him that 30 years ago I stole your tape. And he said, I wonder where that thing went. It's a true story. It's a true story. He said he forgave me. I said, thank you, Jerry. It was beautiful. But Jesus said to Peter that this rock, this foundation that God revealed to you is how I am going to build my church, and the gates of hell is not going to prevail against it. Peter was not the rock of the church, folks, as some religions say. I'll throw a little theology in here for you, a little doctrine in here for you. Jesus is the rock. He's the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It was not Peter. All right, I'm gonna help you out here. Remember when, and again, the thing is, the most amazing thing that Peter, he did a lot of amazing things, actually. But even though he did so many amazing things, and he helped lead the church in so many ways, Jesus would never, ever build the rock on a human being that was flawed. No way. So I was starting to look at some things, and I thought, well, what did Peter do that was just ridiculous? And one of the things is, you remember when Jesus was in the garden, right? And they were coming to attack him, yes? And then the high priest's servant came in, and Peter took his sword out and cut the guy's ear off. You remember that? Well, that, guys, listen, that was a capital crime. Jesus quickly took that ear, put it back on, healed him instantly. I mean, boom, done. Because that was a capital crime. Peter could have been executed for this. So there could have been four crosses up there. Peter could have been on that cross as well. And if Jesus was supposed to use Peter to build the church, he was the rock. So much for that idea. Man, Jesus blew it. He messed up. Didn't see that coming. Jesus sees everything. Right? Fully God, fully man. Yeah, that would end of that plan. And also, let's look in Acts, the 15th chapter, verse 1 and 2. It says here that certain men come down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Well, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them on that. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about the question. So they go to Jerusalem Council to discuss the matter. On their way, God did amazing things, beautiful things, healed people, set people free through Paul and Barnabas. And when they get into the council, the Jerusalem council, they start to talk about all this. But then in Acts 15 and 7, and when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Peter got it right. He believed Paul and Barnabas. That's right, Peter. Good job. Way to go. You're on target. But, always a but. Hate that part. Sometime in the future, somewhere between Acts and Galatians, and that could have been months, it could have been years, not sure, you could probably figure all that out, Peter started to go back to the old ways. Oh, go back. Used to believe like he used to. What? So in Galatians 2:11, here's what Paul says. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. That's what the Bible says right there. In verse 18, it says, for if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself, what? A transgressor. That means sin. A transgressor is one who sins. This is what Paul is telling Peter right here. If I go back to those old ways, I am sinning. I am transgressing. That's what he says. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. And then in verse 21, it says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then why did Christ die? He died in vain. It was all for nothing. This is what he's telling Peter. Now, thank God Paul's saved now, or Peter probably would have died. You know how Paul was. Mean dude before he got saved. So here, if the church would been built, or has been built, as some religions say, on Peter, we'd all been in trouble. You and I would have been in trouble. We would have all had to head back to the law. We all would have, if that's what Peter was saying here. Yeah, we'd all had to learn what? The Torah. We'd have had to learn all of the things that happened back through the law. Then we'd have had to become a Jew first. And then sometime we'd become a Christian. That's absolutely not right. And God says, that's not what I want you to do. Do not do that. Paul says, listen, how can you now force Gentiles to live according to Jewish law and traditions in order to be saved and equal before Jewish Christians? So this is preposterous, Peter. God did not take the veil down and fold it up, guys, and put it away for a later date. He ripped the sucker from the top down, saying, this is not to be done ever again. Amen. It's what he says. It's not my writing. This is God's writing. This is God's writing. Because it's the better covenant. We have the better covenant. Praise God. The new covenant. Peter's response is not recorded anywhere in the scripture. It's nowhere. I've tried to find it. No. His response wasn't there. It's not needed anyway. It doesn't matter. Because God commanded Peter to overcome his attachment to the law and customs of Judaism. And then if you read on, again, his other mistake or whatever, you can't blame the guy who's a Jew his whole life. And all of a sudden, bam, he gets hit with this. But then it also says, if you go on down to Acts, the 10th chapter, I think it's the 10th verse, he went into a trance and God told him, not that you can eat the meat. Eat it, kill it, and eat it. And he said, no, it's unclean. And God said, listen, Peter, do not call unclean what I call clean. And he had to tell him that three times. Yo, boom, boom, boom. Get it right, Peter. And we are not supposed to practice Judaism either. Little theology here. Paul says we transgress if we do. I remember years ago, there was some kind of fad. Everybody wanted to become a Jew. All us Gentiles wanted to become Jews for some reason. I don't know. People would leave the church and go find a Jewish church and start doing everything that the Jews did and all this stuff. It's wrong. God says we transgress if we do this. You want to learn the history? Great. You want to see what your ancestors was like? Great. You want to figure out the customs? Fantastic. But to live it and practice it is transgression. This is love. I'm loving you. I'm loving you. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. Jesus is our rock. He's the rock. He's the cornerstone. He built the church on himself. Praise the Lord. And Jesus is building the church on Peter's confession that he is the Christ. That's what it is right there. Jesus is building the church, and he is giving Peter the keys to the kingdom, not the keys to the church, but the keys to the kingdom. And what do keys do? We know what keys do. They open things. They open things. And listen, Jesus uses Peter to open the doors to humanity to receive Jesus Christ. That's what he did. If you look in Acts 2:41, he preaches to the Jews. 3,000 of them get saved in one day. Wow. What a blessing. In Acts 8, Peter opens the door to the Samaritans. And then if you read on down in Acts 10, Peter baptizes Cornelius in his house and opens the doors to, yes, us, the Gentiles. And we are now part of God's kingdom. Woo! Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy and grace letting us in. So he plays a vital role in the New Testament church thousands of years ago. That was founded when? On the day of Pentecost is when the church was founded. But he definitely was not the church that we're built on. Now, just because that we have a gathering of people who come together, though, and worship doesn't make it a true church. Did you hear me? So here we go. Put your seatbelt on because I'm going here. This is where I feel I should go. Places that deny the deity of Jesus is not the church. All right? The Mormons, the Church of the Latter-day Saints, that is not the true church. Listen, God and Mary did not have sex and have Jesus. If you don't know the history, it's the history. It looks good on the outside, but remember in the last days, what was the very first thing Jesus said that would happen before earthquakes, before rain, before tornadoes? What? Deception. All kinds of deception. So the Mormons are not the true church. Joseph Smith's interpretation of the Bible is not the correct interpretation, as they say. And the Mormon Bible is definitely not on the same level as the Holy Bible. The Jehovah's Witnesses is not part of the true church. I sure hope that more than 144,000 make it to heaven out of 2.8 billion, don't you? Jeez. Well, I don't know where they get this stuff. Salvation is not giving for faith and works. I mean, David, you've been saved how long? 40-something years? You've been working at this church for 30 years at least, right? You've done so much stuff. I'm sure you are going to be the one of the 144,000 because of all the good works that you have done. You're probably up, you're probably going first. And he's prideful about it because I've done this and you've done nothing. That's why it has nothing to do with works. It's the free gift for everyone. By faith, we are saved. Hallelujah. It's not about this. Praise the Lord. And Jesus being a God, but not part of the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit just being a force and not a person, again, it qualifies them as a false religion. They are not part of the true church. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? All right. The church is the true church by the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. That's the true church. We are to be witnesses across the world and, yes, across the street. Some of us have said that the church is an institution. No, it's not. The church, like we said, is not an institution. It's people. The church is people. An institution is a noun that refers to a meeting place or a building. We, the church, the family of God, meet in an institution, right? Yes, we meet here, right? We meet in a building every week. We meet at Only Believe. That's where we meet. Other believers, they meet in their institutions or their homes or wherever they meet all across the world. But the church is people. It's not an institution. The institution is where we come together. Jesus went to his institution every single week. Look at it in Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 16. It says that he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And what does that say? I didn't hear you. What he did every single week, all the time, when the church doors were open, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. It was his custom. This is what he did. Every week, he was there. Probably the first one there, waiting for the doors to be open. Reading. Being part of the church. So as the head of the church, he was a great example. Do what I do. Don't do what I say. He was there for us as the example of what the true church was supposed to be. The number one reason that we come to church, that we gather together, is to worship our one true living God, who, thank God, and we sing it a lot, who's never lost a battle and never will. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We worship him because he's willingly laid down his life so you and I could have everlasting life. Wow, we just think about that. Something to worship about. He saved you. He forgave you. He's worthy of all of our praise. Took our sins as far as the east is to the west. Though we remember him every now and then, the devil tries to get us to remember them. He has forgotten them. Amen. Thank God for that. Especially for people like David and his past. Hallelujah. His office is next to mine, so, you know. I hear a lot. So, praise God. Hallelujah. Psalms 95. Turn there. 1-4. It says here, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods." And verse 6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." Woo, that's what we did today. That's what we did this morning as the church. We did what Psalms has told us to do. But first it said, come. Did you notice that? Come. It never said, first, stay. Reside. It said, come. It means we have to go somewhere. We have to be somewhere. Come together. Let us sing, shout, be thankful, bow down, be joyful, kneel. We saw all that today. All of it today. In other books we read, let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Because God knew a lot of us can't sing. We all participate in active worship and express our worship to God in every way, in our own way, as we assemble together. It's what we do. It's what we're supposed to do. And yes, I agree, for all those that want to say something on Facebook about the church, it's not a club. It's not a club where we just come in and hang out. Even though it's nice to come in to the institution as the church, hang out, eat food like we always want to, get together, talk, laugh, cry, play games, whatever. It's good to do that. It's awful quiet now. So let me just keep on going. The band, this wonderful, amazing band, amen, where none of them get paid. They're not here to entertain you. I could have put another movie clip up. Are you not entertained? They're not here to entertain us. Right? You are not the audience. Come on, come on. Three people believe that. Okay. No. They are here, up here. They sacrifice their time. They sacrifice their lives from their family to help us do what? Bring in, right? Bring in the presence of the Lord, right? Usher in the presence of God like happened this morning, right? Through praise and through worship. And you and I, we are not the audience, we are the worshipers. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. We praise God. We worship him for everything we just talked about. Guess what? We are the worshipers, and there is only an audience of one. Woo! Hallelujah. Jehovah. He's our Messiah. He's the rock. He's our foundation. That's the audience that we worship to. That's what the church is all about. That's why we're here. That's the number one reason and priority that we come together, assembled together. That's the true church of believers. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's something to shout about. Amen. But then on the other end of it, well, Pastor Randy, I can do that at home. Yes, I can praise God at home on my knees. Yes, you can. And you should. You should. I can pray while I'm doing the laundry. I pray while I'm cooking the kids' food. Yes, you can and you should. Oh, I can teach my kids about God at home. Yes, you better. Sheesh. We'll put all that responsibility on us. Starts at home. Church should start at home. Worship should start at home. Hallelujah. But here lies the problem. Coming together, assembling together, is not about you or me. That's the problem. That's it. Coming together as the family of God, as the church, we have the responsibility, the spiritual responsibility of others. I know it's hard to sink in. Well, man, I thought it was about me. I had a rough week. The devil hit me hard. I came in here to get something today. I want to be recharged. Coming together is about how can God use me in the lives of others within the church? How can we contribute into the church, into somebody else? Now remember, I said we're going to get back to this. Back to Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. Look what it said right there when we dissect this verse. If you want to put that back up there, sorry, that's my bad. I didn't put that in the notes. Proverbs 10, 24 and 25. Look at what it says first. We are to consider ourselves. Am I reading that wrong? Oh, so I went to Pickwell High School. I'm so sorry. Let us consider one another. Oh, that's what it says. One another. Okay, so that's the first thing we do when we walk into this institution as the assembly, as the church. We are to consider one another. We're supposed to start looking around. Woo! Who's here? What's going on? And then as we consider one another, what does it say next? Oh, yes, yes. We are to stir up one another. Not in a bad way. Yeah. Yo, buddy, you want something from me? I'll stir up, man. No, not that way, okay. That's who you used to be. Stir up that way. No, it's the good stir up. Stir up one another. How can we inspire someone else as the church when we come together? We are to, what's next? Love one another. I know that's hard to do. What if you came in and said, God, just show me one person I can love today when I come to the assembly? Just one person. Just show me one that I can bless, love, hug, whatever. Just show me one. That's all I need. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, but the problem is a lot of us come in at times and we're like, well, that was a new song, huh? That just didn't do it for me. Just didn't do it for me. Just whatever. Yeah, okay, whatever. You know what? It may not have done it for you, but then all of a sudden you look over here and Marge is crying her eyes out. So instead of sitting there, oh, this is a stupid song. Didn't affect me at all. Look around. Who can I bless? And you see Marge. So instead of self, I think you ought to just find something and go over to the one that the song is doing something for. Here, sweetheart.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. It's that simple. That's loving one another. Those are clean, by the way, Mark. That's loving one another. It's what we're supposed to do. Yes? All right? Okay. All right. We are to do good works with one another. We are to exhort one another. Come on. We are to serve one another. We are to greet one another. And there's the other problem. Some of us come in to the church, to the assembly, and we have our horse blinkers on. Horse blinkers. They're not called blinders, they're called blinkers. The true term. If they were blinders, the horse would be dead, and so would you if you're on it. But here's what we do. We come into church like this. Been a tough week. I don't want to talk to nobody because it's about me. I need this today, or I'm going to go insane this week. I don't know that I'm going to stay saved if I don't do this. And we come in, and we sit down. We just wait for the right time, the opportunity. We get up and praise God with our blinders on here, blinkers on here. Praise the Lord. By the way, sometimes we come in late because we don't like the music. It's too loud. Then when Pastor Randy or Pastor Nicole or one of the other pastors said, "All right, everybody stand up." We go right up out the door. We don't see nobody. We don't talk to nobody. We don't care about nobody else but us. Got to get to that buffet. That's not the true church, folks. It's not the true church. Hallelujah. So, here's the deal. We have our prayer team down here every single Sunday for you. For you. Why do we have our prayer team down here? I understand there's live stream. I understand that there's opportunities where we can't make it. I get all that, all right? But it's not supposed to become a habit that we don't assemble. Because we just said that we have to love one another, greet one another, work with one another, exhort one another, consider one another, stir up one another. Here's the big question. How can you want another at home? You can't want another at home. You can't experience what we experienced this morning at home. It can't happen. You can't want another on your computer. You can't want another on your television. You can't want another on your phone. There's exceptions. I understand that, but we can't make it a habit. You missed a great place to shout and clap. Okay. Three people again. All right. Okay. The rest of it, you're just soaking it in. Okay, I understand. So here's the deal. Whenever our kids, and I'm closing, whenever our kids, church team, dream team comes together, we hang up our adult and we focus on your children. Done it for 16 years. We focus on your kids. It's not about ourselves anymore. We hang up our adult coat at the door. Some of your kids make us want to quit Children's Church. Because again, it's volunteer. All right? We're all servants doing something in the church. And sometimes we go back there and we think that these are paid staff, $80,000 a year. You know? My kid, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I'm so sorry. We're apologizing. They're volunteers too. All right? They're serving. But we hang up everything. We love on your kids. We play games with your kids. We communicate with your kids. Act crazy. Play funny videos on television. Have amazing lessons that are object lessons. And we do all this kind of stuff for them. We have songs. You know, we create a dance team back there so the kids can learn the moves so that helps them remember the praise and worship so they go home singing it all week long. We do all this stuff for your kids. We put a lot of time, we put a lot of money in providing the atmosphere so God can give them the experience. And that's the same way it happens out here. The band, the greeters, the coffee apparently. It all is part of the atmosphere. All right? So therefore, you somehow, some way can get a touch, an experience from our Lord Jesus every single week. That's what true church is all about. Frederick, this morning, coming up, can I give a word of encouragement? Listen, that blessed my heart so much because a lot of you, if you know Frederick, he's been here, I don't know how long, how many years now? When he first came in, Frederick, wherever you are. Where are you, Frederick? There you are. Stand up one more time, Frederick. Frederick was a mess. Yeah, amen. Frederick was a mess. Wow, we didn't know what to do with Frederick. You know, but listen, we didn't just throw Frederick out. That's right. That's not what God does. No, we loved on him. We helped him. At times, yes, we had to correct him. Yes, Frederick, man, you know, you can't jump up the walls, bro. I mean, it's okay. You know, because yes, there is a little bit of order here and there. But listen, look where Frederick is today. Because of you. That's the true church. Wow, it's a little uncomfortable when Frederick wants to come down in the center of the aisle during church and just be on his knees and pray. Who cares? That's the true church right there. That's what church is about. Hallelujah. So here's the thing, and I close with this. Jared and I, this week, Friday and Saturday, we went to a gospel, Jared Kaiser, those of you who know Jared Kaiser, we went to a gospel illusion conference in Columbus, Ohio. And obviously, you already know I don't use the word magic. I don't use it in church. I don't use it overseas. Anywhere I go, it's an illusion. It's a trick, okay? But it's the Ohio Fellowship of Christian Magicians is what they call it. And it's a gospel group. And we went there Friday and Saturday just to, again, learn some cool stuff for the kids and things so we could bring it back to the team, show them some things, and just get inspired ourselves. And people come from all over the country. All these illusionists, Christian illusionists, they come from everywhere. There was a particular man there, and I think I put something on the screen. His name was Sam Sadler. Never seen him before, had no clue who this dude was. He is apparently the only full-time deaf magician or Christian magician in the world. Full-time. Seen in 45 states. He's absolutely amazing. Me and Jared, we just sat in awe. When he came out from the back, he was energy. He was amazing. All these crazy tricks. I mean, he got our attention instantly. We were like, I wish I could be that. He was phenomenal. So he did have hearing. He had hearing up until he was like 25 or something. Lost his hearing. His daughter apparently was born deaf. Wife left him, I guess. He has a testimony that just blow your mind. So obviously, I was just attached right then and there to him, and plus seeing what he did, and he had these cochlear implants, I think, right? Sam and Charity do all the sign language. They're fantastic at sign language. They do it together all the time, and I tell them, quit being intimate in your sign language at church. Stop it. So they're very good at what they do in their schools. They do sign language, things like that. So he put these cochlear implants, and they work, so he can hear again, which is beautiful, but his daughter cannot. So she is part of his acts all across the country. She's 18 now. But he did an amazing act. And we were all like, wow, the place is full and things like that. And then he decides he's going to show us how one of the acts was done. So he brought his cross back out. And he brought sin back out. And he was getting ready to hang it on the cross. And it fell off the cross. And he picked it up and he said, oh, I think I got the wrong one. I'm sorry. And he goes to the back around the curtain and he picks up a different one. And he comes back out and he tries to put the loops through it and he drops it again. And I look over at Jared, I'm like, is this part of the act? Is this part of the act? What's going on? And he kind of stopped for a second. He turned around to the audience, the full room, and he said, I'm sorry, I've been off my game this weekend. And I'm like, okay, apparently this is not an act. He said, I just got a phone call on the way here that my mother had collapsed, and she's in the hospital. I'm 6 hours away. I've tried to call. I can't get a hold of anybody. I love my mother. I love my mother so much. As he starts to start crying, we found out that she has been pulling all of her IVs out. She won't listen. They don't know what's wrong with her. And he's continued to cry, and he's continuing, and he says, I apologize. First time he's ever been to this. I've never seen this guy in my life. And I am getting ready to stand up and say, I'm coming to pray for you, Sam. When another lady stood up right before me, it's always them women that get to us. She said, let's all pray for Sam. And I said, yes. And so people got up and we gathered around him as he's crying and trying to wipe his tears off. This amazing Christian magician who just awed us like we've never seen before. 45 states. He's a professional, done this for years and years and years. Up there crying, and here we are around him, praying for his mother, praying for peace, praying that the doctors would find out what was wrong for him. That, my friends, is the church in action. It wasn't about the performance anymore. It was about him and his concerns and what was happening to him. I could have sat back there and said, this is stupid. I paid a lot of money to come and see this guy. Look what he is. What a crybaby. But you know, people act like that. I came here to be entertained. I came here to learn. All we're doing is praying for this guy and his problems. No, we did the church. We did what the church was supposed to be. Stand up, everybody. Come on, all around the house. Hallelujah. Say, I am the church.
I am the church.
I asked him the next day when I saw him. I said, Sam, I said, hey, how's your mom? Well, I did finally get through. There's no change, but it's going to be okay. I said, I know. I said, because we prayed. We prayed. And he said, well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And so I bought a couple sign language shirts just for you two, so you would appreciate them. It says in sign language, be kind. That's the magic. That's pretty good. So I got them for those two because they always sign. So this morning, I hope you learned something today about what the true church is. And I hope and I pray that as we went over this simple message today, that you say inside, am I that? Am I part of the true church? Do I come in thinking about somebody else? Or do I come in wanting to just lay it all down because of what's happened to me all week? Listen, if you will come in and do this, take the blinkers off. Worship, praise, look for somebody else's problems. Help somebody else. Love one another. Be concerned about them. Come. You watch what God will do for you. You will be blessed as well. He will help you in your circumstances. Because if everybody is doing this, it's like a marriage. If I'm 100% of the time worrying about how I can bless my wife, what I can do for her, and she is 100% of the time looking to see how she can bless me and do something for me, we're going to come together every time, and all of our needs are going to be met. The church is the same way. The church is you. The church is me. We come to an institution, and we come here for each other because we are family, the family of faith. And if you're out here today, I don't know anything about this family of faith, but I'd like to be a part of it because it sure seems cool and crazy at the same time. Then it's your opportunity. Prayer team, come on down. It's your opportunity. We do this every single week because we're not promised tomorrow. We have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. This is your opportunity. If you want to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, now is the time. And as the church, we're praying under our breath, Lord, convict. Lord, send them down. Not, Father, let us get out of here. It's 11:49. No, it's part of the family. You were where these people were once. Thank God you're where you are now. Anybody want to come down? Anybody want to receive Jesus? Not taking much time. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Going once. Going twice. Okay. Everybody's heart's clean, I suspect. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning as the body of Christ, as one. We thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to assemble together, because just 3 years ago, we couldn't do it. We thank you for the assembly. We thank you for the body of Christ. God, we thank you that we can't do this on our own. To love one another, to help one another, to serve one another, we have to come. God, help us to come. Help us to consider each other in these last and final days where it's all about ourselves. It's all about us four and no more in the world. Let us be that light that shines brighter than the world, brighter than darkness. Everywhere we go, help us love. Help us not conform to the world and its ways, God. Even though it's getting heavier and it's getting harder, you are there with us. I thank you that we think about others instead of us. I thank you that this church, the family of Only Believe, Lord God, would be different. I thank you for moving through our hearts, changing us, helping us today. Lord, I bless the families today. I bless everyone in here today. I bless every child in the kids' church today and the youth today. Thank you for watching over them, helping them, putting people in their paths. If there's problems, situations, I thank you that people will go to them and help them. God, I thank you that everywhere we tread this week, we are blessed. Blessed going in, blessed going out. God, from the north, south, east, and west, blessing comes to us. Healing comes to us. In Jesus' name, those that are sick, God, those that have flus and colds, we curse them in the name of Jesus right now. Through that television screen, we curse them in Jesus' name. Wherever they're watching from live stream, you're sick right now, we command healing to come to you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, take it right now. In Jesus' name, because you're healed, you're set free, you've been delivered. In Jesus' name. God, we thank you for a great week, a prosperous week. Give us one person to touch this week and help invite them back, Father, to one of the greatest things that has ever happened on this planet and will ever be, and that's your death, burial, and resurrection. We give you praise for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need help with something, you need prayer with something, we're down here. We love you. Have a great week, and we'll see you Wednesday night. God bless.